Welcome to Synthaholics, and we're back.
Oh no.
This is your host, David Duncan. With me is Aaron O'Brien. And also with us is Andrew Dumais. You may have heard his voice on a couple episodes in the ye old past.
Returning champion! What's up, Andrew?
Says gross things about doctors!
What? Wait, gross things about doctors? What are you talking about?
That was your first episode when we did the doctors, and we all said gross things about doctors.
Well, you said the grossest things.
Oh, you know,
I mean, that kind of is a given, Aaron, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about Dave here.
Yeah.
Am I trolling?
No offense, Dave. I mean, it's just who you are.
Yeah, well, he definitely was. Well, he keeps on insisting in incest between Wesley and Beverly, so
you know, it just makes sense. It's the future. They're cool about things in the future.
I don't think that ever becomes cool.
Hey, Game of Thrones is pretty cool.
Do you know that even
you know what? With all the science that they have, I'm sure they're gonna make sure that nobody's committing incest.
Yeah,
maybe they figured out fix incest with medicine.
Now, Dave, do you know that in actual primate troops? That the one rule that they have is that mothers do not sleep with their sons. That's the only rule they have sexually.
That's pretty pretty deep.
Doesn't mean that fathers won't. Fathers will mate with their daughters.
Oh, just like Craster north of the wall.
Yes, whatever. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
He offered up all his sons to the whites, and he slept with all his dollars and made them his wives. Creepy. But between Jon and Daenerys, incest is coming. Instead of winter, but you know.
Anyways, welcome to Synthaholics.
Yeah. A Star Trek podcast.
Star Trek
podcast. / Game of Thrones podcast. No.
We're turning this a Game of Thrones podcast.
Now that winter is here.
Or we're talking about incest with apes. Or doctors.
Planet of the Apes.
Stuff you should know. But don't take our word for it.
That was pretty funny, actually. That's pretty funny.
Just as long as PBS doesn't sue us.
Yeah, they'll sue us for sure.
Don't worry, I'm like six shots in before I've started my six shot drink. It's good.
God. So So right. Andrew, are you having a beer or are you having a drink with you?
I am having a beer.
You better have a beer, because you're gonna need it for this one.
he volunteered himself after.
Said, you know what? Let me get a backup. I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah.
after Jared Condra made that message about Jim Adar, how we were doing the father son thing.
Yeah.
She thought it was hilarious, and then Andrew came on, and he says like, "What episode was this?" And so we told him, and Andrew says he wanted to come back for this episode. Specifically, so he could get more of the father-son roleplay, because I don't know why he'd want to be on this episode any other way, because this episode isn't exactly like a great episode.
Yeah, so we are talking about, for this episode, the Deep Space Nine episode Explorers, which is Season 3, Episode 22, and it first aired May 8th. 1995.
The funny thing is about this episode is that it's almost a full season after, not quite, but almost a full season after the Jim Adar. So this is a pseudo sequel. Especially great for us to do the father son thing. But we do have some Star Trek-y news.
Yeah, a couple things to throw some flags at.
I think he actually went and got up in beer.
Good for him. What's the first thing you want to bring up?
Jason Isaacs has been ripping up the interwebs with his amazing trolling abilities. He is a troll like no other, and I salute him for being a troll. Yeah. And then I shake my head at all the people who are falling for what he's saying,
right,
and taking it at face value. And we're back.
Dun-dun-dun.
We're going to do that again.
We should do that all the time. The Reading Rainbow sound.
But don't take our word for it.
Yeah, just keep on saying that. Don't take our word for it.
And we'll just keep playing it after every single time we say it.
such fucking assholes. All right, so in the New York Daily News, the gossip section, Isaac is quoted saying that he's looking forward to having the having fun with them, the fans being outraged. So he's because what he was saying that Discovery is so different from previous Star Treks that they're all going to like, you know, flip their wigs over this whole thing. And he said, and he, I guess he made this this assertion that Discovery would throw away the legacy of William Shatner and Patrick Stewart. But I guess it says that the statement appeared in the article without attribution. I don't know if that just means the writer added that in, like just being like...
He just was trying to infer what he was trying to say.
I guess, but then apparently like... Shatner tweeted him and he's like, "What is this?" Like, and then he came back and saying, "You know, nobody could like
fill your boots. I'm going in barefoot."
Yeah, I'm going. Yeah.
and then people were saying, and he said something like, "To people who tell me to fuck off," he's like, "I'm my best first choice anyway." And to people who say they won't see it, I dare you. And I think that was very awesome, Jason Isaacs coming out and saying that. And, you know, I think the only reason it came off the way it did is because if you look at what he said, he's basically saying what fans of, quote-unquote, fans who are ripping Discovery a new one before it comes out, he's basically just reiterating what they're saying, and it's like, fans are already tearing themselves apart over this.
Of course.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. The show's not even out. Just give it a chance, guys. Like we keep saying, just give the show a chance. And he's just capitalizing on the fact that he knows fans are already like up in arms about it, and he's just like throwing more chum in the water.
Well, and I just don't understand why the fans, I mean, I never will understand this, that so many Star Trek fans are so freaking close-minded. A bunch of like, you know, hardheads, and you know, like you like we said, Next Generation, they hated that iteration. You know, Enterprise, they hated that iteration.
They
hated
Deep Space Nine. They hated Voyager. I still hate Voyager.
How do you judge something you haven't even seen yet?
It just, but it's how people they go.
It's ridiculous.
It's not the original.
Well, they're like, oh, it's too much like JJ Trek because they've got windows for view screens.
Ooh. Cares.
They've got lens flares. It must be JJ Trek. I'm like, it's just modern making of television. It's just they're making it look modern. Having a big ass window instead of just a television screen, that looks more modern. Having a heads up display on it, that looks modern.
And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of the original series. My heart just is overjoyed every time I see it. But I don't expect them to make them a TV show in that. That look, it would just turn people off.
Some crazy people cite Axanar as going to be the perfect look, and I'm like, hey, we never got it. We never get to see how horrible and stupid the show would look, showing JJ level graphics on the outside of the ships and going back to like a 1960s on the inside.
Right.
It would look ridiculous.
It would look really stupid. Trying to compare those two would be just dumb. Sorry, I'm gonna shut up.
That's exactly right. It would be just dumb. The reason Star Trek Continues works so well is because Star Trek Continues looks exactly like the remastered version of TOS,
and
that works perfectly.
It's essentially the same show, just different actors.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, like, they didn't like make the ship look super realistic. They just kept with the same looking model as the remastered of the original do on Netflix.
Well, let's face it, for those shows that they did, which are wonderfully done. It's under the budget. I mean, it's like how much, I mean, they don't have a lot of money, so they can basically make their stuff out of plywood, out of cheap electronics, instead of going to a really nice studio with a creative team that can do all these crazy ideas and do all these new, you know, designs.
Floor panel lighting and all this crazy stuff. Like, you know, who knows?
People are just whiny. You know, I just don't get it. Jason Isaac, he is kind of just churning the, you know,
he's just chumming the waters. He's just like, oh, the sharks are circling, and I'm just going to throw more chum in and just watch this. He's getting kicks out of it, guys. And I mean, like, if that doesn't make him a bad person, that doesn't mean Star Trek's in trouble. That just means you're whining. He sees you're whining, and he is just just wanting to, you know, troll you. And don't fall
for
it.
So, in other words, I mean, in other words, people have to stop whining about something that's going to be as ridiculous as how what the style of the show is going to be like. Star Trek is a mythos. It's a mythical world. So it's going to take on the whatever iteration is going to take on whatever the creators are putting into it. And to expect it to be like something else it was before would ruin what those creators are trying to make. And you can't always pander to the audience because sometimes the audience are idiots. I know that sounds stupid.
No, you're
sounds
right.
Mean, but it's right. Sometimes the audience are idiots and they just don't know what they're talking about because they just don't understand what you do when you create something like that.
Well, and some of the audience will always want the same thing over and over again.
Yep.
It's like having a kid saying, I want macaroni and cheese. I want macaroni and cheese. And like, there's a whole world of wonderful things to eat.
Nope, it's mac and cheese.
They just want, and someday they grow up and they're like, "Why didn't you ever tell me about, you know, spaghetti parmesan or I don't know, just amazing food that's out there?" And
other things you can do with noodles.
Well, other things you can do. What, you know? Why didn't you tell me about, you know, fish or something? I don't know, but it's just like, and you wake up and then you're like, oh, there's a whole spectrum of things. So that's the thing is, I think you're right that, you know. Audiences just wants to be spoon-fed things, and when they get something they don't know, they don't like it. And then, like, a couple years later, they're like, oh, I guess it was pretty good.
I saw the Star Trek group. I think they're called the Original
yes.
Timelines or something yes. like that. They basically just – one of their admins came out and said, oh, look, it looks like the JJ verse, so we're deeming this not Star Trek. And I basically went on that thread, and I was like – because they said, oh, it doesn't line up canonically. Well, I'm like, oh, wait, well, if you look at the Enterprise, Next Gen episode with the Traveler, and you do the math based on how long it would take to get away from a whole other galaxy back to the Milky Way galaxy, then it would only take 7 years for Voyager to get back. Oh, well, Voyager's not canon. Oh, look at, Mudd's Woman. They have lithium crystals out of lithium drills. Oh, wait, Star Trek, the original series doesn't even line up with its own canon. Oh, well, let's just give up on Star Trek. I mean, like, if you're going to, like, stick to canon that much or you're going to just write off a show before it comes out and cite canon reasons, then you're dumb. Because, I mean, Star Trek never perfect with canon. As much as I bitch about it and as much as I care about canon, I do understand that it's nothing's ever going to be 100% perfect. And Star Trek never lines up with itself perfectly.
Yeah. And
But I mean, you know what? I think you're right, Dave, and that's what gives Star Trek its charm. You have all these little micro universes that are kind of just kind of tied together by these loose connections, almost like the actual universe, where it's just little galaxies tied together by little connections, you know? And that's what makes Star Trek Star Trek. I mean, if you wanted something like the Marvel Universe, you would ruin the very essence of Star Trek.
Well, the Marvel Universe doesn't adhere to its own canon. If you watch Spider-Man Homecoming, the time frame in that is all wrong. How it lines up with everything else.
Well, I guess in my other thought is that, you know, just going to Marvel Universe. I mean, that's almost pre-planned.
It was all pre-planned. But the,
when you go to
when it's pre-planned, you're still not lining up with your own stuff.
Well,
it's,
even like we
it's,
talked,
it's hard.
Like we talked about Harry Mudd last episode, and like there's like you said the lithium or the lithium crystals instead of dilithium crystals and little things like that. They don't have it all worked out, and they keep changing things up because they figure out different or better ways to tell a story. That's fine, whatever. But there's also, going back to Jason Isaacs' comments, is there's also a thing in music saying that even bad press is good press because you're getting
people worked up.
People are talking about you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, Marilyn Manson, you know, pisses on stage or something like that, or, you know, whatever. You
Ozzy
know?
Eats ahead of a band.
Yeah. And then people are freaking out. And then, but then it just people.
It's
like,
still news.
People are like, oh, I wonder what is. What that guy's about? I'll go buy his album, you know, kind of thing. Just because you're just
curious,
So, yeah, it's not a totally bad thing, you know, to be a little controversial as long as you're not hurting anybody. So,
I think you still want to just have fun at the fans' expense, at the quote unquote fans who are just freaking out already.
Yeah,
and just don't fall for his trolling. He's an actor. He's a human being like all the rest of us. He likes to have fun, and the way he's having fun is just stirring the pot. I mean, it's.
Or maybe he wants to get people – well, like you said, he wants to get people pissed off for maybe publicity. Maybe he's like, come on, guys. Kind of like let's grow up. Let's stop worrying about something. So
I'd love to have Jason
kind of silly
on the show and just ask him, "Are you just doing this for fun?" Because I mean, I think it's awesome that you're doing it for fun because people need to grow up.
It would be cool. So, Jason Isaacs, if you want to come on our show,
please come on our show, Jason. We love you,
Mr.
Snape Weasley. No.
Oh yeah,
all the wrong Harry Potter names. Malfoy. That's it.
But I agree with you, Aaron. I think it's just for publicity.
Yeah, I mean,
bad publicity is good publicity.
He's having a little fun, but I mean, it's you know, whatever. I think he just underestimates the nerd culture, geek culture out there that people just get picked up. Like somebody said, like when they first made the original X-Men movie, the actress who played Jean Grey, she got into like a cab and, you know, like I guess the guy, she's like asked her what movie she was in or something like that. And he says, "Well, I'm playing Jean Grey or something like that from the X-Men." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Her hair was more red than yours." I'm like, yeah, it's a fucking comic book, you moron. I mean, they literally took the red ink.
The reddest red they could find.
And they painted her hair with that. It's like, nobody's hair is that red in real life, okay? It's like, Jesus. I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
People
are too nitpicky.
They're such...
This is coming from me. I'm going to be super nitpicky about the show. But I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it as best I can.
Right.
I'm nitpicking it because I love it, not because I don't want to watch it.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to poke holes in it just because, you know, it's because I want to be a dick about it. You know, I'm actually trolling the material itself, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of poking holes in it or kind of poking fun at it just... for that, like you said, because I love it. You know, it's kind of what I like to do.
Yeah. What else we got for news?
Alex Kurtzman said that Star Trek Discovery Season 2 is already kind of being planned, and that the entire first season will wrap up the arc of the Klingon War that apparently happens, that we've been getting hints at in the trailer. And I'm a little bit disappointed. Because I was hoping, you know, especially since the seasons are so much shorter than they were on other Star Trek shows, that I was hoping that the war would be at least a 2 or 3 season arc. Especially since, for Kirk, the war seems to be really fresh to him. Like, maybe it was before he was captain, but it just seems, like, a lot more fresh in the way he's so angry with the Klingons and Aaron and Mercy and stuff like that, who he's fighting so hard to get these poor Amish people away from the clutches of the Klingons. Because the Klingons are so... Yeah, they're Arganians.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like,
he's so angry at them in that.
Cause if it was like a 10 year, I mean, if the show is a year, like Star Trek series have been, like usually a season encompasses about a year. If that happens and the war is over within a year, and so it's only 9, maybe 10 years, depending on how that episode falls in TOS's timeline, 9 or 10 years just seems a really long time for Kirk to be still that worked up about it, considering he's probably just aboard the Farragut at this point.
Well, I don't know. O'Brien is still pretty messed up with the Cardassians.
Yeah, the Cardassian War was also like 100 years long. So, I mean, it was a long war, and...
But he's pretty pissed off at it.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like people come back from war, and they just, you know, still hate the enemy. I don't know. I don't know much about... I don't remember Kirk, other than just being pissed off at the Klingons, ever saying that he was involved with the Klingon War. I just don't remember if he was or not.
I mean, there's no... I don't think there's anything that's saying how involved he was in it.
Yeah.
All I remember is from Star Trek 3.
Oh,
when they kill his son. That's why he's all pissed off, usually, with the Klingons.
Well, sure. In the movies, he's got new reasons to be pissed off with the Klingons. But in the show... Aaron DeMercy especially, he seemed like a very...
Yeah, he's...
Just super angry with the Klingons, and like it was personal back then, even before he knew he had...
He definitely has his reasons. I mean, I don't think his reasons are incorrect, but...
To me, it just felt fresher than it'd been over 9 or 10 years. But that's just...
He could have been like a cadet that just signed on.
And had like horrible war. I mean, I think he was on the Farragut.
Well, he's a lieutenant in the Farragut.
Before, he was on the Enterprise. So.
Yeah, but he was like a lieutenant. That was before he became captain. So. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, so that's cool. And we also got news just today that Adam Nimoy and Terry Farrell got engaged.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, I saw that. That was nice.
It's not all bad things.
Congrats to them.
No.
Yes. See how that Trek marriage pans out. Maybe they make a new TV show.
live long and prosper. Or together.
Make babies or whatever.
Baby and prosper.
Baby, yeah, I mean, hey.
Half Trill, half Vulcan babies.
There you go.
I wonder if they'll, like, make, you know, like, surgically alter them. Have, like, slightly pointed ears and lots of, like, tattoos.
Right.
Let's tattoo an infant. Wait, no, that's probably not a good idea.
Tattoo an infant. I think that's pretty illegal, actually.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, we'll wait till they grow up a little bit, see if they want the spots.
Right. So, should we get into our episode that we're speaking of today?
Yeah.
Sure.
Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. Like I said,
this
was episode Explorers, and this is season 3, episode 22. First aired May 8th, 1995. So, we get the beginning. We get Dr. Bashir in Quark's, and he's reading some kind of report when Leeta.
This is her first episode.
It's their first episode.
Chase Masterson.
Yeah, she is wonderful.
They loved her so much, they brought her back on, and she was in this episode for 2.5 seconds.
I understand why they brought her back.
Oh, she is very good looking.
Very talented actress.
Very, very talented.
Yes. Yes.
And Bashir thought so, too.
So
I love how he like wrote on the... she's developed a cough.
Yeah, she faints this cough kind of thing. And he obviously he picks up on the cues and he starts playing with this doctor patient little role play,
weird role play.
When Dax comes in and ruins everything, and he's like, you know, he sends her even a message on the data pad, like
go away
or something like that. So I'm having fun, but then she mentions that the USS Lexington will be there in 3 weeks, and he. It's like, oh, really? And then he's like, don't you have a friend on there? Which is really weird because, like, why does she know about this person? And it's like, they never really met. So this is even weirder. So anyways, but there's a person.
How would you not meet when you're in the same class?
It's a big class.
In the same homeroom.
Well, maybe not the same homeroom. But so this is the person that he's talking about is Dr. Elizabeth Lenz, I guess.
I just feel like Starfleet is the best of the best. I feel like the classes wouldn't be that big, but...
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, you're looking at an education system as it is now and trying to compare it to what it would be then. Maybe that one's a lot more inclusive, so a bigger class.
We saw how hard it was for Wesley to get into Starfleet. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen how hard it is to get in the Starfleet. I mean, they have like a group of like 5 prodigies, and only like one gets in.
Well,
I mean, it's super hard to get in the Starfleet.
And you have to
but you forget about enlisted people.
And you also have to be sponsored by, you know, people who've been in there. So you'd like a captain or somebody or admiral.
Yeah, like Starfleet seems super hard to get into, and both these people are officers, so they're not enlisted.
Right. So apparently. True. Dr. Elizabeth Lenz, she was a valedictorian of their class, and I guess Bashir was just messed this up. Now, this comes up again, doesn't it?
I think it came up before, but it comes up again when we find out he's an augment.
Yeah, that's right.
And I feel like...
Because he threw the test purposely.
Purposely. I feel like it makes sense because he keeps bringing it up, that he threw the test. But he seemed like... I remember Alexander said he got upset that he was an... that they revealed that his character was an augment. And I'm like, if you look at all the other things where you're like, oh, I messed up the super obvious thing, and I just feel like it's super foreshadowing that he did it on purpose because he was an augment. He couldn't get a perfect test because he didn't want to get scrutinized. To me, it makes perfect sense, and there's been seeds for it seasons and seasons ahead of time.
I just wonder if they had it actually mapped out or they just decided to write that in and use that element. But so he apparently made this mistake, was the only thing between him and this Dr. Lenz, that he mistaked pre-ganglionic fiber for post-ganglionic nerve. Whatever that means. So, so he didn't get the first choice, and he picked Deep Space Nine, and she got the Lexington as the first
post. Everyone wanted the Lexington.
So, at the same time, Sisko comes back from Bajor. He opened this opening of a library. Jake's
looking. Gee, Dad, what's on your face?
I've been given mustache rides.
Mustache? What's a mustache ride, Dad?
I'll teach you that later.
Tomorrow?
Maybe tonight.
I put down my pad. There's porn on it.
I saw that. Uh-huh. I don't get into your business, but I have been checking your cookies, and holy shit, son.
I'm sorry. I've been looking at a bunch of Gorn and Ferengi male porn. Trying to figure out how Gorns do it with Ferengi. It's kind of creepy.
You see, the Gorns have barbs on their penises and...
like cats, Daddy? I want a cat.
Yes. They've just basically ripped the shit out of your vagina.
Or your Ferengi male butthole.
Or your Ferengi male butthole. Whatever. Anyways.
Can I look up Beard Rides since you won't show me?
Not now, but son, I got to tell you something. So he tells him that he's got a Bajoran lightship he got these plans for, and he plans to build one in the cargo bay.
Dad, why does it say wood? Can wood go in space, Daddy?
I guess. This seems really, really strange.
My wood can go in outer space, son.
Maybe there's like Bajoran wood. Like maybe like it's like a different type of wood that can withhold like different kinds of pressure.
Daddy, does Kira have Bajoran wood?
All the time.
For Vedic Brile?
Yes. You see.
So what you're like, you're saying like it's some sort of iron bark or something like that?
Yeah,
like
something maybe a little stronger. You see, the Bajoran clitoris turns into a boner later on.
That's why Kira's so manly.
Yes. That's why those shoulder pads are so big.
But she has boobies. Woo!
Don't get excited. She's not into you.
Aw, Dad.
Anyway, so that ends the little teaser. Sisko, without all the sex jokes, Sisko takes a cargo bay and tells him to clean.
You said teaser.
Sisko tells him to empty out a cargo bay, and Chief O'Brien's unsure if the starship that he wants to build is even space worthy.
Which is really ironic, considering the episode was originally written for O'Brien. And Sisko.
Yeah.
To go do this thing.
And here's the part:
why were they getting like were they getting jealous of the Alamo?
Yeah,
Bashir.
Yeah. We do have Bashir.
Sisko
O'Brien
wants some Alamo time with Mr. O'Brien. He's packing like an Irishman. Is that a Guinness? Or are you just happy to see me?
He just doesn't understand the Irish curse.
Is that a Jameson in your pants?
This is a shot. So O'Brien doesn't know if it's space worthy, but he wants to build it like the Bajorans did, and he's actually going to use real wood, and he's not going to replicate things. He's getting real materials for all this stuff.
And a real saw. I wonder how many times he cut off his thumb and Bashir had to reattach it.
Not again, Captain. Oh, my God. but he intends to fly it, and Sisko plans to take it to this Denoris belt. Is a major goal, and they don't think you'll even get that far. So, but apparently they say that the Bajorans made it to Cardassia. And now this, by the way, this happened like 800 years ago.
800 years in their past. I did the math. 800 years from this point in time in Deep Space Nine's timeline, Galileo was a child. Like nine, I think, if I remember right.
Like, not the probes, the actual
The man who made the telescope. Galileo.
Yeah.
Like, he was a child. Like, right. I think around 9 or 10 years old. Maybe 12, but he was a child at this time. And I'm just like, Bajoran should be way more advanced than everybody.
They've been crushed by the Cardassians for all that time.
Yeah, but this proves they were more advanced than the Cardassians. Like, they should have been able to repel any kind of Cardassian invasion by accident if they were that technologically
advanced. Well, first off, just because they had space travel doesn't necessarily mean they were more advanced than the Cardassians.
Well, space travel...
They just meant that they were able to get to space first. Doesn't necessarily mean they were more advanced.
Well, usually space travel is a sign of being more advanced. I mean, hell, how many technologies have we got in our real life because of various space programs through NASA and whatnot. I mean, space travel and going into space is a major hurdle, and things that we overcome by going into space have an awesome trickle-down effect to increase technology all around.
Well, I got problems with the spaceship, period, because there's a lot of things...
I have lots of problems I'd like to bring up at the end of the episode, too.
Anyway, so taking a break in his quarters... Sisko asks if Jake wants to come with him.
Daddy, there's a girl coming.
A girl?
She has boobies. And if you're not going to be here, it's the perfect time to strike. I ask her where her willy is.
Oh, boy. So he...
Do girls have willies, Dad?
No.
Oh.
Maybe you should be trying to ask other people, like men out, if that's what you want.
But I like boobs, Dad.
So anyways, going on to there, Dax stops by and says that she's excited for him because he seems to be just about as into it when his wife, Jennifer, were going to have Jake. So,
gee, Daddy, why can't we take these stars on the ceiling to our new house?
Because it'd be a pain in the ass. Just look out your window, kid.
Can't we just replicate it, Daddy?
It's the sappiest anecdote.
Oh, I know. I mean, there's so many bad anecdotes and little things in this thing.
You can be Jadzia.
And then we get a thing. Jake gets a message from Wellington on Earth, and he makes him happy what he reads. But they
at first, I thought it was his girlfriend telling, sending him nudes and and saying, "Oh, I'm not going to be back when I thought I was." Because this is when Jake goes and, "Hey, Daddy, I'm going to come on a trip with you."
So then Bashir is preparing for Dr. Lenz's arrival. He's kind of like primping and everything in his infirmary. And when they find out that the ship has come in and there are, you know, he's going to go down to Quark's and hang out and see if he can go talk to
him. Oh, it was like, it looked better over there.
Yeah. Which is the only shot in the whole scene. So he literally put makeup on just for this.
For a line.
One line.
Or I guess it was two lines, but
I was like, why did you even write him into that?
I hope for Roger Aubergenois's sake that they were filming other episodes at the same time so that he didn't have like 8 hours of makeup for like two lines.
Sisko's get a call from Gul Dukat saying that this is just a stupid thing. It's never
going
to work.
I hear you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? My little spaceship's made its way all the way to Cardassia Prime. Garrick!
What? I'm just making some new shoes. So then Jake and Benjamin both jump on the ship. He decides that he's going to go with his dad anyways. Because the news he's got, he wants to break it to his dad.
Gotta break it to my daddy.
Dad.
I'm a writer. I'm a pansy.
He's like, you know, like maybe this is like a thing about like, you know,
coming out
to your parents, like, you know.
Okay, I thought that too. I just didn't want to say anything, but yeah, that's what it really seemed like. I was just like, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
weird, but like definitely parallels. It seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, I distinctly there was conversations early on with Jake and Sisko about him not being sure he wants to join Starfleet. Because at one point he said he wanted to when he was younger. Because it was like, Dad, I want to be go Starfleet like you. And then he was like,
I'll play baseball just like you, Daddy.
All right.
And grow a goatee. Okay. So I can do face writing, whatever that is.
Yeah. You're going to love that part. So anyways, this stupid things that he does. Like he has 0G
netting on the ground.
Netting on the, well, not just that, but then he designs his bathrooms for 0G. Like Jake walks in and goes, "What am I going to do in here?
Hey, Daddy, what do I do with this?
You'll figure it out.
Do I put my penis in it?
Yeah.
How do I poop? Do I shove it up my butt?
Yes.
Oh,
it's like a vacuum. It's like
what me and Nog do after school. Wait, no.
What?
Nothing.
It's like putting a shop vac up your ass.
Oh. I've done that before.
What?
No, nothing. It was part of my key initiation. They were trying to show me my preganglionic fibers.
So anyways.
And all the non-fibers, my postganglionic nerve.
No!
No!
No! But it felt good in the wrong way.
Oh, no. Hurt so good. Anyways, so they don't have a replicator either on this. He put like ration packs.
Daddy, I don't want Go-Gurt.
It's Go-Gurt. It is totally Go-Gurt. It's like so gross. You know, it's just like slime.
It's not water. It's not food. It's Go-Gurt.
And I like how he drinks it. He's like, this reminds
me. Yeah, like it's refreshing Miller Lite.
Yeah, you know? It's like, this reminds me of the war, you know?
Go-Gurt, beer flavored.
So it's just like, it's Miller Lite, mixed up with like
ganglionic fibers.
Hamburger
helper.
And french fries. And they just like mix it all up into like a shake and you just drink it.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Tipsy bartender did a drink with a blended up Happy Meal and it was really bad. He couldn't even keep it down.
Oh.
He tried twice.
Include the toy.
No, but he instead of the toy, he put booze in it.
Well, next scene we get is at Quark's. Basically, I guess they have a bet on how far he's going
to
get with
a 3-1 between Morn, because Morn is always about betting and talking.
Yes, of course he is. And so they see Dr. Lenz, and Bashir gets up to talk to her, and then she just walks right by him. Doesn't even pay.
How dare she?
Brushes him.
Yeah.
50 bottles of booze on the wall. 50 bottles of booze.
Well, then we have back on the sailing ship, Jake gives Sisko a story, says he's got something to tell him. He reads it. He says it's got a lot of promise, and he says there's certain things, basically, that he's not, like, he doesn't think it's all there, but he thinks he's, because there's certain things he doesn't write with experience for.
Yeah, Daddy, I've done that.
I don't know, I had kind of a beef with this scene, because he's like, I like it. And then they talk a little bit more, and then he's like,
I didn't really like
promise.
It.
And it's like,
what,
why would you do that? It was like he gave him a compliment and then kicked him in the nuts about his, you know, this great thing that he just showed him.
It's a weird thing about like Sisko. He's like, he's not like super supportive, but just a little bit. Maybe he's realistic too. You know,
true.
Maybe he's like, hey, it's pretty good. It's not the greatest thing I ever read, but it's pretty good.
Involve the Maquis. That's gonna skew how much he's actually gonna like it.
Well, then,
and Aaron, I would agree with you there. But then the reason he gives is, well, you haven't experienced, you know, being a Maquis, and it's like, okay, so he's not supposed to have any kind of imagination or have any kind of poetic license when he's making when he's writing a story. Come on,
exactly. And how many things do writers just kind of just paint?
Oh yeah, they bullshit.
Like, you know, most writers have never probably gone to war, and how many writers write about warfare?
But yeah. George R.R. Martin at least does like a shit ton of research, which takes him decades to put out books.
Sure, but I'm just saying. And then he brings out that he was accepted to the Pennington School, which is in Wellington, New Zealand. And
you mean the Zindi didn't love New Zealand, Daddy?
And he, but he doesn't know if he wants to go. He might defer for a year. I guess he can defer for years. But he's got a. Not a scholarship. What was it called? A
fellowship.
Fellowship. Thank you. Yep. Yeah, fellowship to it. And but Sisko wants him to go, and he was like, "Oh, I want to go." You know,
but Daddy, you're so lonely without me.
I know.
So lonely. I can't show you my postganglionic nerve if I'm not not around. I met this Jabba the Hutt lady. She's all about
mustache rides that you keep talking about.
Yeah, she's afraid
of
pilots.
Don't worry, son. I have Garrick.
Garrick, yeah, I got Garrick. It's fine.
But Garrick doesn't have all those postganglionic nerves in the right place.
That's true. He doesn't. Most have been tortured out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
So, another thing about the sail ship is just it keeps falling apart as they're flying. So they just keep on, like, they have to jettison, like, a certain sail falls off.
Jettison the left sail. Jettison the right sail.
And next we...
This ship should just stall. I like how the middle sail looks like an actual sail from, like, a sailboat.
Yeah. It should have stalled like the Excelsior at the end of Star Trek III. Or no, at the beginning of Star Trek III.
If my grandma had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
I really hated it. He was like, he goes, "Do you hear that?" And he's like, Jake's like, "What?" "Oh, nothing."
Yeah.
You don't even hear the hum of an engine. It's like, you know what? If I'm going to be in the middle of, you know, space,
yeah,
I want to hear the fucking hum of an engine.
I want to hear something.
Sakes, I want to know that I have an engine that's working for me to get me to, you know, a Terra.
All you have between you and nothing is a little bit of wood.
A little bit of wood.
That's in my pants.
A little
bit of
wood, a little solar sail.
No, the solar sail's not between you and nothing. Solar sails is propelling you. Now, only thing stopping you from dying is a little bit of wood.
Now, excuse me while I enjoy this Miller Lite steak shake that I'm drinking.
Steak shake go-gurt.
God. Meanwhile, Bashir and O'Brien are drunkenly singing Jerusalem, and they are...
I love this scene so much. I think.
And they're perplexed by Dr. Lenz, Elizabeth Lenz.
How did she walk by me?
And O'Brien basically says, well, either she loves you or hates you.
You got the kind of personality where I either love you or I hate you. And I hated you when I first met you.
And now I don't.
Now I don't hate you. What does that mean? I just don't hate you.
I don't hate you anymore.
I want to Alamo you.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that means, then I'll show you. To the house suite!
To the house suite! To the Alamo!
The way he looks back at the chief and goes, well, what does that mean? And he just looks at him, like, longingly. And you're like,
it just means I don't hate you anymore.
And then O'Brien's penis slides into his mouth.
This is where the Alamo was born.
And he did mention Synthahal in this. He's like, tonight's not a Synthahal night.
We got to do the real stuff.
The real stuff. I'm always confused with Synthahal. Is it alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
I think it's alcoholic, and they can just come back from it with like a hypo spray or something.
Oh, right.
And they want to make sure they stay drunk tonight.
They want to stay, and he wants to confront her, and he says, you can't even stand up. Why don't you just bend over? And
we'll do the Alamo here.
Yeah,
is right. Keiko coming home soon? She can take pictures.
Back on the starship, Sisko gives him the story about when he went to Starfleet Academy, how he was really lonely, homesick, and he kept on transporting back to New Orleans for dinner. And then
I feel like it was weird that Jake mentions transporter rations, and I'm like, why would there be rations? This is like a utopian society. Why would there be like a limit on...
Again, like there's a cash register in Sisko's father's... restaurant.
Yeah, Till, yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Whoa. It makes perfect sense, because the power for those transporters has to come from somewhere. They don't have unlimited power, and they might have only so much power to go around, so they have to give out rations. But everybody gets an equal amount of rations based on, you know, their need. It's a socialist system.
I guess. It's supposed
to be a utopian system, not a socialist system.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what is utopian? If it was utopian, they wouldn't even... Well,
you know, there's a book called Trekonomics, and I've been just hedging about buying this. I want to read that book and just talk about that, because that's something we've been talking about probably since the 10th episode, is the economics and the social utopia, whatever this thing is, in Star Trek.
Because there's money in at least up to Star Trek 3, because in Star Trek 4, Kirk says there is no money, but when Bones is talking to the funny-eared guy, they're talking about a money transaction to get him to Genesis.
Yeah, that guy again.
This is the way I think it works. I think that in like on a Federation planet, you don't need money.
That's right.
As long as you're a citizen of it, you're going to get everything taken care of. You want everything, whatever. Luxuries are going to be something you need to pay for or trade for or whatever. But on like the actual like intergalactic market, where you're going to be dealing with planets that are outside of the Federation, you're going to have some sort of currency where you're going to have where you can trade with them.
I agree with that. That's why they have that money.
It's more for an international thing and for international trading than it is for their own populace.
Well, Deep Space Nine, there's definitely something like that going on, because there is money exchanged on Deep Space Nine. So I feel like the Federation have some kind of like allowance they get so they can do stuff on the ship. But there's replicators. But there's replicators too, so it's kind of like...
Well, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, so like if Quark wants, you know, press Latinum, can't the just replicators make that? I just don't understand, like, what the big deal. Maybe it takes up more replication energy, or
maybe it uses more replication energy than the actual what you get out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes more money than energy.
Maybe there's a signature to it, a replicated money, a replicated Latinum. And I mean, if you could replicate it, therefore loses its value, because what makes it valuable is the fact that it is rare.
Well,
if you replicate it, therefore you must have some sort of law that say that it's counterfeit.
Well, but
compared to real pressed platinum.
But, I mean, it's pretty much the same for most part. I mean, the only thing I could say is that I think that's why you get sort of the Federation has like a sort of a socialist system with money, because there's not really any need for it, because you can just replicate anything. You know, like
almost anything you want, yeah.
I mean, besides services. So, well, like,
I mean, replicators can break down. Replicators aren't, like, infinite. I mean, we saw that in Voyager when they were going through it and they would lose, I think it was called biogel cells.
Yeah.
That break down and they could go bad. So, and you don't know how much or how many resources are needed to make those cells, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, but that was a finite material that they could use. I don't know how the replicators actually. How do you feed matter into the replicators? I don't know how that exactly works.
Yeah, the replicator reaction thing in Voyager I thought was a little bit weak, because I mean, oh, we don't have power for it, but I'm like, you're always trading with other people for other things. Like, how come you don't have?
Can't
power
you just
for
like
it?
Have some just like scoop like dirt into the thing and just like transport that, you know, that matter,
transmute it to something else?
I don't know what.
Well, the matter that they use, like they can't just do it from scratch. It's not like they take some sort of energy source and they have something that turns it into matter. I mean, they have to have some sort of biological
matter
that they can create into what it is, into yeah. what you'd like. Right. So that matter can go bad. It can become infected. Because it's got to be organic, so it can become diseased or something like that. There's ways that I think the replicator could break down.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, they never say they broke down a Voyager. They just said they're they always say it was an energy issue.
No, they definitely. I you know what? I would have to look it up, but I am 90% sure there's an episode, and it's just in passing, so it's easily missed. But I don't know. It just sticks out in my head because I always wondered about the replicators, and they kind of explained it. But I'll have to find the episode, and I'll let you guys know.
I mean, another episode. I
always felt like it was an energy thing. They always said energy.
Well, anyways, maybe we should get back to the story.
Yeah. True.
Gee, Dad. What we do when the sails fall off?
What the fuck's Voyager?
What the fuck is a Voyager?
So going back to the New Orleans story where he goes for dinner, he's homesick, but then he says after a while that kind of like that waned and he got really into, you know, being in Starfleet and the Academy. So, but then all of a sudden the ship starts rocking and the main sail breaks off and they accelerate quickly. They don't know why. The ship had gone into some sort of warp, which doesn't make any sense either. And yeah. They check the map, and he just does. There's no spatial anomalies, and Jake points out the tachyon eddies, and Sisko's like, "Well, a regular starship can be affected by tachyon eddies, but maybe a Bajoran lightship was different because they're solar sails."
Yeah.
Anyway, so they don't know quite where they are, and they're trying to radio in to see what's going on.
Before we get into the next part of the story, can we talk about this whole tachyon thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first off, you said, I remember correctly, it's made of wood, and it then goes into warp made of wood and solar sails.
Sure.
Because tachyon is going faster than light, always faster than light. So, how is this possible?
How much faster than light are tachyons supposed to move? That's my question.
Well, does it really matter? It's faster than light, man. Well, I don't think wood's going to hold up.
Yeah, it's a point. So, like a standard starship.
But you're in space. There's no external forces pushing on you other than.
But can I just point out that a standard starship puts a warp bubble around it to protect it from everything as it kind of glides?
Oh, yeah, like space debris, things like that, yeah.
So it glides through space, so it doesn't actually interact with it. So because you go faster than light when you go to warp.
Much faster.
Yeah, it's almost like a rock skipping on the water,
exactly.
But not quite touching the water.
Right.
This would actually be a huge wind that is faster than the speed of light.
And the ship would
be going through. Like, how is that possible?
A pebble in space would have ripped that ship, like... Well, a giant hole.
And I'm not just even talking about, like, a debris. That's a good point as well, because you're bound to run into something.
Especially its own debris that's also spazzing out in space.
But...
Because that doesn't stop moving. It's gonna stay moving that speed forever because it's space.
But theoretically...
Unless something else works on it.
With Einstein's theory that they would have just turned into energy.
Oh, infinite mass.
Yeah, that's
because they're moving faster than the speed of light. I mean, it just it does not specify that there's a warp bubble put around them.
But he said we went into warp, so maybe.
I know
the essence of
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Remember, there is no hum of the engine, so where is the bubble that's around them? So they're not being
there's no energy warp fields.
In Star Trek, tachyons are somehow dense enough to be a core of a planet that makes your planet.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
So I mean, maybe tachyons can make temporary warp bubbles when they hit a solar sail.
That was a fun episode, but tachyon core for a planet
makes no sense. Yes. I mean, tachyons are supposed to be small, super fast particles. Like, there's no way they could be dense enough to be a core of a planet.
Right.
Unless, like, they're not really tachyons anymore.
No, this is where it really gets wacky. Now, if they said that they went in through some wormhole, that would make sense.
That would make a lot more sense.
That they just popped out of one.
But although wormholes probably way more dangerous than open space, probably, for a wooden ship.
Well, not just that. But yeah. Then if they discovered a wormhole that from Bajor directly to Cardassia, I think there would be a lot more problems.
Yeah.
You know what would have been... But I just think, you know, it would have been better if, like, they used something like a solar flare. Like, something like that could have maybe been, like, they get near to star and they hit a solar flare. I don't know if that would possibly
work. I was never clear how far Cardassia was from Bajor.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Not far, according to some maps I've seen, but it doesn't matter. Like, far is relative when you talk about space, because, I mean, like, Alpha Centauri, the nearest star, is, like, 5 years away. You know,
five light years away.
If we were, you know, so I mean, like at sublight speeds, that's like 10 years, and I don't know. If
and just with a rocket ship, it's going to take you like hundreds of thousands of years. Like,
yeah,
like ridiculous
time dilation. But I mean, like you could still probably make it there in your lifetime because of time dilation. Just everyone on Earth would be dead.
I don't think so.
Well, the faster you move physically, the slower time goes for you.
Yes, but it's still an awful long time with current engines.
Sure.
Like our technology today. Now, maybe if they build something that goes way faster, you'd probably be all right.
I would also love to hear how solar sails work. Because, okay, so the way they work in the show, I also would like to know what speeds they're going.
That makes no sense either.
Because,
yeah, light pressure, I'm not exactly sure what he means
by
that.
We can get into this later.
Solar sails are a thing. We were sending up tiny satellites, like tiny, like super small satellites with like football field-sized solar sails that they work on something with the sun pushing on them. So, I mean, so you've got photons, which move at the speed of light,
sure,
pressing on the solar sail.
Right.
So are you going to move at the speed of light eventually? So, I mean, like, so why would a tachyon, which moves faster than the speed of light, which is moving slightly faster than your photon, going to all of a sudden accelerate you that fast?
Well, not just that, but on top of that, so you have, we've got... The idea is now they're going to build these probes that have small little sails on them, and they're going to use a laser, and they're going to point the laser at these probes. And this is real life, and they're going to,
yeah, they're going to propel lasers.
Them. They're going to propel them to Alpha Centauri and all sorts of different, star systems that are somewhat close to us. It will take them a very, very, very long time to get there, but it's an unmanned probe, and it's super cheap. All you got to do is keep that laser pointed at it. And that's all you got to do. As long as that laser doesn't shut off, they're good to get there. But it won't be in our lifetime, or children's, or grandchildren's lifetime.
Let's hope that laser stays on.
Yeah, and nobody blows anything up. Anyways, let's get back to the story real quick. So next, after they don't know where they are, but they're trying to figure out where they ended up. Bashir gets the courage to talk to Dr. Lenz, and she says that, well, I thought you were an Andorian. I was at a New Year's Eve party, and somebody said, that's Dr. Bashir, and I saw Andorian. Well, that was my friend I went with. Oh,
yeah, because Bashir sounds Andorian.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, come on.
It doesn't sound like you're from, the Middle East.
Sounds just like Shran, okay? I couldn't tell the difference between Shran and Bashir. It makes sense to me.
But anyways, she brings up this whole thing where she envies Bashir's opportunity to work on these long-term projects. I guess life in Lexington has just been a lot of charting. They go to a planet every once in a while. She picks up some samples and she leaves. So Bashir gets to work on all these different things. And then she says, mentions a study he was looking into, and he's like, well, you want to come to the infirmary and... Well, I'll show you my latest findings, and she's super excited. And they go off, and they're super happy together. next thing we have is that Sisko talks with Jake about this freighter captain, Cassidy Yates, who will show up more and
later.
But
that's how he got his Maquis information.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you about the Maquis.
Daddy, don't think about me as your son. Think about me as just another guy that wants to see you dick wet. Wait.
What?
What?
Gotta get that thing wet.
You gotta get the noodle wet. So after making a concession that he will go in a year, but he wants to experience a life on Deep Space Nine for another year, just to get the life experiences that are unique. And then all of a sudden, their conversation is interrupted, is that the Cardassians show up in full force, and they're like, well, I guess you proved us wrong.
Oh, yeah, we found, somehow, just now,
yeah,
we found a crashed Bajoran ship. That looks just like yours. It's missing the same sails.
And Sisko's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you're in the Cardassian system right now. So apparently the old rumors were true, or the old myths were true, that...
And the Cardassians knew it. They were trying to keep it secret.
Right, because they didn't want to be outdone by the Bajorans.
And then since they managed to show up, it was like, okay, instead of shooting you out and denying this existed, we're just going to shoot fireworks at you. Because apparently they use fireworks for celebration, too.
Well, which is weird, too, because it's like, why were they excited about that?
It seems like they'd shoot them out of the sky just to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
Cardassians are dirty like that.
No, you know what I think they did? It was kind of like a PR thing. It was like, you know what? We're going to tell how wonderful the Bajoran people were able to do that, but we're going to steal your thunder by saying we discovered it first because we found that before you got here. So we'll celebrate it together and hear your fireworks.
Yeah, and so that's where the episode basically ends. Andrew, you are a guest. I'd like to ask you your first takeaways after watching this episode. I'm assuming you've seen it before, but like, what are your thoughts and feelings after seeing it?
Well, I've watched it about twice today and once earlier in the week. I found it in one of the cheesier episodes between Jake and Sisko.
No doubt.
Why would you say something like that?
I love my dad.
I love my daddy.
I love my
and his funny beard thingy. That he says he does.
I also noticed that his beard seemed a little darker when at the beginning of the episode, and
yeah,
then
it's like
halfway through it seemed a little lighter.
Was it
was kind of weird.
Was it the men's
for men, daddy?
Just for men.
I'll give
yep.
it.
Where they comb in the dye into the thing. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
What's
I use it on my pubes.
Why?
Reasons.
What else?
I like the idea of a culture that, you know, when we were, you know, just crossing the oceans, there was another culture in another solar system that was actually going into space. It's just, I really feel that the writers of this episode didn't put enough thought into it. The ship design along, you know, besides that, it's just, it would seem rather unlikely. And if it did happen, it was something like with the Vikings, where the Vikings came over here. Maybe they were blown off course. Maybe they just kind of...
They got shot by 600 arrows.
And they got lucky, you know? I don't think it was kind of like this huge, you know, trading network or anything like that. I think maybe, you know, Dave says, oh, you know, they should be more advanced than us, really advanced. Maybe that was the only time they got out there. And then that was it. Like, nobody came back. They got to Cardassia. They crashed, and that was it. You know? I don't know.
Maybe try making a ship that's not made of wood.
Exactly. I think that was their first mistake.
Oh, shit, we can't land!
The shipbuilders and the writer.
How did the ship survive?
Re-entry?
Re-entry on Cardassia.
Doesn't make any sense.
When it's made of
sense.
Wood and like bronze. Because it's very steampunky, the ship.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it seemed like something from the Victorian age more than, ancient Bajor.
One of the things they said in the Memory Alpha is that they since they never addressed how it made orbit and something like that, they assumed it was maybe shot off in a rocket, and then it was like...
Then why didn't you use a rocket? And was the rocket made of wood? Yeah.
No, they shot up in the metal rocket, and then it just came apart, like, you know, the Apollo, where the Apollo thing
once
came
again,
out.
How did it get to the atmosphere before, you know...
Well, if it was condensed into it some was, kind of rocket.
Yeah, it was a part of a rocket's payload. So they got into the ship, and they loaded the ship into a rocket, and they shot the rocket off, and the rocket would break apart like the Apollo ship did to reveal the Apollo probe.
Okay, now I might excuse my ignorance. I gotta ask. When we're going into orbit, is it the same amount of friction and kind of shielding that you would need if you're coming into your orbit?
Yes.
Yes. They used the rocket shielding to get their wooden ship into the orbit, into space.
That's why it doesn't make any sense.
Staying in orbit is different than reentry.
Well, yeah, staying in orbit is different, but if you need to land, you're shit out of luck.
Oh, yeah, you can't land in a wooden ship.
You would get up there with the rocket, you would get rid of your rocket that got you into space, and then once you needed to land again, you were screwed.
Right. Maybe that's why it crashed.
Maybe they had transporters.
Well, let's take our chances, try to land.
Ship, they didn't even have an engine for their ship, and you think they have transporters?
Yeah. Well, so there's...
Nobody thought this through very well. Get to the next planet.
No, this episode, science-wise, makes absolutely no sense. I agree.
Sad for Star Trek.
Still
I'm
better
sorry.
Than Threshold.
Well, yeah, that's not a far cry from anything. anything else that you want to bring out?
And then being a total hater of this episode, I like the Bashir. I like the Bashir and what was her name,
Dr. Lenz.
I thought that was kind of funny. Just
the B story was definitely
for the sappy Jake and Sisko thing. It was that just got annoying, and then that their whole story arc sucked too. So it was kind of the only redeeming thing of that episode was the kind of play between O'Brien and Bashir, and then Bashir and the Valedictorian, because I can't seem to remember her name for the life of me, even after you mentioned it. Like
Chase Masterson's cleavage. I mean, come on, you can't.
Yeah,
can't Calvant.
Dave.
The only thing I hate about that particular sub story would be the fact that she thought Bashir was an Andorian name.
That too was like, what? Have you ever been to planet Earth? Dave, what else? Anything on your seeing this?
We're mostly doing this to follow up the Jem'Hadar episode with the father-son thing, which is, if you haven't noticed me doing the voice the entire episode, that's basically why we decided to do this one. Jerry Condra, you're welcome. this episode's not great. The Bashir O'Brien story is definitely good, because their relationship is always fun to watch. How they bounce off each other. It's always a lot of fun. One thing I thought was really, beside the other science-y things that we thought were wrong with this episode. Okay, so this is a zero-G ship. They put down gravity mats.
Right.
And they're straining really hard to turn those things. Like, how the hell are they turning these things
in
zero-G? Like, this makes no sense.
There should have been, like seats that they clamped themselves in that they
so,
would
so, yeah so they could you know get some kind of leverage, because in zero G like you've got no leverage to turn those things
but then he said he put down like some sort of gravity net
but the ancient Bajorans didn't have the gravity net, so how would the ancient Bajorans ever have been able to steer?
I mean, maybe
ship?
He forego the seats.
Oh, that's like they designed the ship like in the show when they were writing it, and then they realized, oh crap, how are we gonna explain this away and hope the audience didn't see it.
Right. I mean, I was okay with the gravity net, but I agree. That's the first thing I thought when I saw him cranking those sails so hard.
How would they do that? How would the ancient Bajorans have cranked those? It makes no sense.
And on top of that, then why, if you did remove the seats or whatever, you would strap yourself in to turn those straps, I mean, those cranks for the sails, why did you put a toilet that has for zero G? It's stupid. I got more to say about this, too. I'm going to wait till you finish.
That was my big angry takeaway, that I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
That was got you angry.
That was like, oh, this doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, the whole Jake Sisko thing is just silly. Like, I really don't like Jake episodes, but but our Jake and Sisko roleplay will make episodes I don't like a lot more fun. So this is our plan going forward. If it's a Jake episode, I'm going to be doing the Jake voice. it's better than Threshold. Aaron, what are your takes on it?
So, on the surface, it's actually just a fun, enjoyable episode. It's like one of those things that
it's supposed to be like Family Matters.
Yeah, it's just like one of those things that just you watch it, and you get into the characters, you enjoy it.
It was fluff.
It's fluff, but it's a little bit.
Was fun fluff, but fluff nonetheless.
Yeah,
but
it was for entertainment more than it was for like.
Oh yeah, besides it being like science fiction based, you're mostly getting a character development. Of the characters. So, I mean, it was one of those things that you don't really like. You kind of turn your brain off on all those things, but it's just like. So, first of all, Sisko decides he's going to come back from his trip. He's all jazzed because he's got these plans that had never been seen before in Bajor about this spaceship that was a solar sail ship. Decides to build. Sisko is the commanding officer of Deep Space Nine. How much free time do you fucking have?
This has been like a couple weeks on vacation, a couple weeks building a ship.
Like, did you have like a bunch of vacation time accrued that you could just take off for like, 3 weeks?
Or like 2 months at this point?
I have a friend that literally, and this is the craziest thing. I've never seen anything like this, and I give him mad props, is he bought the actual make and model Lincoln that JFK was assassinated in.
Speaking of, I want to get back into the Mandela effect. Was it a four seater or a six seater?
I don't. It's a four seater
because that's what everyone thinks. But the Mandela effect shows that it was a six seater.
Okay, but anyways, let's not change the subject of the Mandela effect.
Sorry, you brought up something that was.
Anyways, he bought the model of a car and it was basically just a shell. With an engine, and he's reworked everything, every wire, every little piece of machinery he's reworked, and he's doing other things to like implement. He's literally even putting like the oak inlay on things. I mean, he's done a ton of work. I mean, it's beyond, and he's still not done, and he's been doing it for years. And this is his job. He does he restores cars and stuff like that. But this is his own side project he does at home, mm-hmm. like on like weekends and stuff like that. It is a feat. I've never seen anything like it before, and I give him mad props. And like he'll do something and realize he wired it wrong, and he has to tear the whole thing apart and redo it.
Oh man!
So like it's really tedious. So. Sisko coming in and saying, "Oh, I'm gonna make the ship all these old plans." I'm just like. Doesn't make any fucking sense. He'd be at it for years.
It's just the boat,
and like we said before, like it's it's a ship made out of wood.
It's made out of wood.
It makes no sense. How did it get up in space? If you put it in a rocket, did they have a contingency for landing?
Wood.
Yeah, I mean, they literally put ceramic tiles.
I got a wood fire shield.
They put they get into the oven, and they just like it's like cast iron.
We'll be well done by the time we land.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's like a potbelly stove that they hid inside while it crashed onto the planet.
The bathroom.
The bathroom. Hide in the toilet.
Hide in the toilet. It just inflates into a giant balloon.
Yeah, so that's it's just like everything that Andrew has brought up and that you brought up, Dave, is like they're just glaringly problems that are like with this solar sail ship. The tachyons, do tachyons even like interact with a solar sail or would they just blow through it? Would the particles actually push it that fast? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I don't, like we said, tachyons have not yet been literally discovered.
They're still theoretical.
They're theoretical. Mathematically, they make sense, but they don't know if it actually is a thing.
Yeah, they're hypothetical faster than light particles.
Yes. So.
And the thing is, light particles are move at the speed of light, but I doubt the solar sail moves at the speed of light.
Right. Like, it probably moves fucking fast.
So, like, why would a tachyon... I mean, do tachyons move, like, hundreds of times faster than the speed of light?
Well, I
because
mean,
it would have to make them warp to Cardassia in, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not just...
Makes no sense.
Not just slightly faster than the speed of light, many, many, many more times
well,
faster
like
than the speed
we
of
said,
light.
You need a warp bubble to... Encase your ship so you can glide along space-time. If you don't...
Without time dilation.
Without time dilation and without your ship actually turning into pure energy and falling apart. It's just... It's the reality. I mean, it doesn't work... The idea doesn't work without a warp bubble. And even scientists today are even conflicted if that would even work, so...
Well, what they're saying now, instead of a warp bubble, it's like more like a warp wave, where like...
Right.
Where the way it would work in real life is that you've got to have a massive amount of energy on your ship that would shrink space in front of you, mm-hmm. and then expand space behind you, and it would kind of push you on a wave.
Right.
And that's how you could achieve faster than light speed, right. with like... That's how it'll theoretically work in real life if we ever get there.
Sure. The ship makes no freaking sense. So, I mean, him building the ship doesn't make any sense. The next little part that I have is I don't mind the interaction between Jake and Sisko. It's not that bad. It's interesting. It has, like, you're trying to develop the characters. It's just that I don't really care about Jake. Nobody really cares about it. It's like Wesley. Nobody ever really cared what Wesley did. You know,
except for Gene Roddenberry for whatever reason.
Right. So, I mean, that's an issue I have with it. It's like nobody really cared. Maybe it's to establish characters a little more, which you need. You do need, but maybe they could have done it better.
Sometimes I feel like, because I watched the episode after this, and it seems like that entire episode was just a big primer for introducing Sisko's new love interest, the freighter captain.
Right, right.
I really feel like that's what that whole episode was about. It wasn't anything really interesting. I think that's why the science was bad in it, because, like you said, it's all character development.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe, but they could have done that like within like a lot quicker of an episode.
Oh yeah, they could have done that with the half an episode length time of half an episode. Well,
but then on top of that, so like I said, is this the episode about coming out to your parents? Like, hey, mom and dad,
I'm going
to
be a writer.
I'm gay.
I'm taking it in the butt too.
I'm a lesbian. Whatever, you know. Like, that was not implicitly implied, or maybe it's just like
maybe we're just thinking too hard about it. Who knows?
Maybe we're just perverts, but. I mean, there's also the side of it. It's like, you know, maybe dad wants you to be a lawyer doctor, and he's like, I want to be an artist, or I want to be this, and, you know, like,
yeah,
that's the other side of it, too.
So. And also, didn't he kind of mention at the beginning how he couldn't go on the trip because his girlfriend was coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, but he obviously pushed it off to talk to his dad when he got the fellowship thing.
Yeah, so...
I think
it would be a stretch to say that he's coming. It's because he's coming out of the closet. I think that would be a stretch then, because maybe it was because he needs to move. He wants to move out there, and he needs to get his dad's permission. You know, we're looking at it from like spoiled Americans. Like, I'm going to do what I want. I don't care. You know,
I do what I want.
You know what? I better ask my dad first. I need to get his permission first. You know, maybe it's a little more military. Maybe it's a little less individualistic. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, that I agree. And every family has a different dynamic too. I mean, some people are more, and like, let's face it, Jake and Sisko's relationship is a lot closer because the mother died, his wife, and maybe this is the family they got, and they stay real close to each other. And obviously he brought that up too, is I'm worried because you're going to be lonely. And he even says, well, I could hang out with Quark.
Or Dax. Or Julian. Or Garrett.
But, but yeah, I agree a little bit on that. I mean, it doesn't have to be a coming out episode, but it did feel a little bit like that. I do think there is a little bit to be said about people who are kind of like disappointing their parents and the life that they're going to lead, that's not what they wanted for them. Like, oh, I wanted you to do this. And, like, that's not what I'm interested in.
No.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool. And, like, you know, like we said, the O'Brien Bashir thing is kind of fun. The whole Dr. Lenz thing is like, how insecure is Bashir that he's like worried about this Val Victorian? And he never met her? And why is he putting so much like emotional thing on this? I mean, it's like, who cares? Like, you never met this person. So,
like I said in the middle of the episode, that didn't make any sense to me. Like, Starfleet, super elite of the elite. Like, the classes can't be that big if they're like gonna like interview five prodigies and only pick one.
Right.
Like, that's just, that's a little like
out long there. Long shot. Maybe it's all a big charade, and she knows that he's augmented, and she knows that he threw that through the test so he would seem more human. Something obvious. He got nervous. He made an obvious mistake, and that's why he didn't end up being valedictorian.
Well, that's exactly what it turned out to be. But at the time,
oh, did it?
But at the time,
that's exactly what it turned out to be.
But at the time,
well, I know it turned out.
We weren't aware
of it. Turned out to be to. I know it turned out
whether she knew it or not. That's up in the air. But I mean, like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I knew about Ali through the test, but I'm saying maybe she knew too, and that she was like, oh, I always thought you were an Andorian. That would explain why she thought Bashir was an Andorian. Maybe she's just trying to play stupid so they can keep up the charade of.
Do you think she knew he was an augment?
Yeah, she knew from the get-go, before they graduated, that he was an augment.
Yeah, because they were in preschool together, and he was like sticking ABC blocks up his nose because he was that kind of kid, and that's why his parents took him to get fixed. Son, we're going to make it so you don't have to shove those things up your nose no more.
I don't know. Well, anyway, so...
I mean, it's totally... It's a long shot, but I'm just saying. I mean, it would explain some of these weird instances of kind of a lack of common sense. Of course, once again, that it's kind of a poorly written episode to begin with.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in this episode. I don't really understand the purpose of this episode, to tell you the truth.
I actually kind of feel bad for Chase Masterson having to come on and do those, like, two, like, couple little lines.
Well, it was probably awesome for her.
I mean, she was probably ecstatic, but I mean, like, to do the makeup thing and then, like, just to, like, it was such a small throwaway part.
Oh, what about Odo? He's got to put a whole face mask on. And he literally says, like, two or three things.
Yeah, but the thing is, Odo's a recurring character, and so he's getting paid the big bucks.
Sure.
Whereas Chase Masterson, there's the pay discrepancy between male and females, and also they didn't even know that she was going to be on past this episode.
Right.
It just seems like such a weird, small throaway part. And then I'm glad they
maybe that's what it was. Like, maybe she wasn't expected to be on to the next episode, like you said.
I don't know.
That's why it was supposed to be a small part.
My question to you guys...
She was originally supposed to be Jake's girlfriend, but Avery Brooks was directing that episode, and he's like, no, she's too old.
Yeah, she is way too old.
She's way too old
for dating a 16-year-old.
Way too attractive for Jake.
Yeah,
I'm
way
sorry.
Too attractive for Jake. But then again, alien kids grow up so fast. Naomi Wildman's like 3 or 4.
These alien
and she
kids,
looks like she's like
they
12.
They just grow up so fast these days.
So, I mean, like, Lita could have been 16 or 14, and she looks like she's 30, because, I mean, alien kids grow up quick. Alexander's like 12 when he's like serving on a Klingon ship in Deep Space Nine.
Anyway.
Max.
Yes. All right. My question to you guys is... Do you have a memorable father-son moment where your father took you or did something special with you? Andrew, I'll throw that question out to you. Is there anything that's, you know, they're like, oh, me and Dad, when I was so-and-so age, we did this?
I'm going to go back to Dave.
My dad didn't do anything.
There's got to be something. Well, I mean, I got to think a little bit about it. So let's go to Dave.
Well, when I was younger, we'd go out when we lived in Louisiana. We had a friend who, if you don't know, Louisiana is flat as flat can be. It's a really flat area, and a friend who was in our church, she had this house out in the country that somehow had hills. Like, it was the most unflat of Louisiana I've ever seen. It's like this little. Away so we could do shooting out there without
shooting.
Guns.
Oh, shooting gun. Okay.
Like I personally had a 22.
How old were you?
Probably age like 8 or 9 up to like wow. 8 or 9 up to like preteens, and, you know, some teen. As I got older, we shot less and less. But when I was younger, we shot a lot. You know, we had a.
This goes against logic, but okay, go ahead.
I was a kid. I was. I had. I mean, 22 is my gun. I mean, I think I got it when I was like 11 or 12. It, you know, it's got very little recoil, super accurate. It was a nice little rifle. I loved it. I didn't like shooting the 9s and the 45s because they're hand pistols and they've got really bad kick. I was always scared the thing would fly back and hit me in the face because I was, like I said, I was a kid.
You're 9.
Yeah, so, you know, between 9 and, like, you know, preteen and young.
I have teens. A 9-year-old at home, yeah.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
I would be scared that the thing would, like, fly back.
I'd be and, scared like, with my son teeth. With that in his hand.
Like, I was so scared that thing would, like, bust my teeth. It would kick back. So I didn't like shooting those. The AK-47 SKS were fun to shoot. I mean, they had recoil, but it was a rifle, so it wasn't like I wasn't worried it was going to break my teeth.
So this is your memory with your father? Like, yeah. Just you and your dad?
Oh, no. It would be like me and my younger brother, and sometimes my sister would come, and we'd bring the milk jugs, and we'd fill them up with water. We'd put them out there. We'd get cans and make the cans jump. There's one that my dad probably would finally remember better, but my dad took me to baseball games, like Atlanta Braves. He loved the Braves, but I don't like sports, so I played my Game Boy, so... I just sat there and played Pokemon.
They probably look at you like, time. What the hell, man?
Yeah, my dad's not proud of that. But I'm like, he knows I didn't like baseball. I don't know why he took me to the game. I have no like of this.
Yeah.
But the shooting was fun.
Okay.
So that was something I enjoyed.
Andrew?
So, I don't know. My relationship with my dad wasn't really like, when I was a kid, was kind of like what Dave's was like. We just didn't have a lot in common. But some of the best memories I had were kind of working with him when I was younger. Although I was always stubborn and obstinate not to work because I was lazy. But, you know, after the job was done, I felt good about it. But one time, we had the field behind our house. It got, you know, dug up and there was a lot of field stones, and I guess it was like dropped off near the end of our not the end but like near the end of like where our lawn is, and my dad broke them all up and everything, but there was some my mom wanted to put in for like a little landscape with flowers around it and stuff, and he and I pushed the thing onto a piece of board, chained it up to his truck, pulled it all the way over, pushed it into place. And it was tough. I was like 12 years old, so it was I don't know. That was one of a memorable time because I got, you know, we finally finished, and my mom came home, and she was like, oh, here, you know, he did a man's work, and she was very proud of me, and it was a good experience.
That's cool. That's cool.
What about you, Aaron?
So when I was, I don't know, maybe 10.
You shot a hose at the ground.
No, that's a different story. My dad kept on promising me and my brother he'd take us to, you know, Disney World. And he would talk about it. And we'd be like, get all excited. And then one day he just came home and my mom wasn't around. And he was like, we're going to go to Disney World. I'm like, all right, you know. And he says, you know, get your stuff and put, you know. And we got in the car and we just started driving for a while. And we fell asleep in the car, and then we got there. This is a weird thing. So we got there, and it was...
The Alamo.
No, it was... I didn't know it at the time, but it was a burned-out factory. And he just started crying and saying that Disney World had burned down. And we start crying.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we just drove.
That is great.
And then we never went to Disney World. And I didn't put two and two together until I was much, much older that was just some old factory. He drove like 2 hours while we fell asleep in the car just to get out of going to Disney World.
Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah.
And your mom was all for this? She's like, yeah, we don't have the money to spend on Disney World.
Yeah.
We'll take it to some burned down factory that I burned down myself.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. That's it.
You know, well, you know, that was the episode Explorers, but you don't have to take our word for it.
Ah.
All right. Andrew, where can people stalk you on the ye olde social media? if he would feel so inclined,
he'd prefer not them not to. If I know Andrew.
Yeah, but you know, I usually am posting on the Synthologs Facebook group. So if you want to talk to me, message me there.
Cool.
All right. The show you can find at Synthaholics.com. That's our website. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. All our music, other than the intro, is by Warp 11. The intro is by Dave Wilkes. He's got our catchy new intro that gets stuck in people's heads. It's crazy.
I love it.
We've got Twitters. The show is at Synthaholic Duo. I'm at David_J_Duncan.
I'm Blackbird2004.
Guys at GS Davis Art. If you like pictures of booze, you can check out my Instagram, which is just like my Twitter, David_J_Duncan. Aaron, tell us about stars and iTunes and things.
Yeah, so a great way to support the show is that you could go onto iTunes. You can give us 5 stars, 10 stars. How many stars?
As many as you want. I think 5 is the cap.
Oh, 5.
But, you know, you don't have to take our word for it.
And also give us a nice review.
All podcasts ask for 5 stars and reviews and like that.
Because it just feeds the algorithm for all podcast platforms. I don't know why. So that would be a great way to support the show. If you do have a little extra change jingling in your pocket, if you go to our Patreon page, Patreon/Synthaholics, or you can go to our Synthaholics page and click on the Patreon button. It'll take you to the page. And if you could donate, hey, $1, $1 a month, if you have a little more, that'd be great. Just to help us keep the show running, would be awesome. Another great way to support the show, which we always enjoy, is word of mouth. If you know somebody who likes Star Trek, who likes to talk about sci-fi, silly stuff, get drunk, and talk about weird and sexual relationships between father and son, definitely, you know, point them our direction.
Yeah, if they think that's funny, we're all about that.
Yes. I'm just thinking myself from the last remark of Aaron's last remark. No.
You are contractually not able to, because you requested to do this episode because of the last time we did role-playing on the Jim Hadar.
Hey, Andrew.
You're not allowed to distance yourself from that remark.
Andrew, what do you think about us doing a Patreon readings of, what was it?
Star Trek Slash Fiction.
Slash Fiction? Do you know what that is?
I do not know what that is. What is it?
So we had an idea at one point that we were going to do a Patreon level that we would actually read Slash Fiction for our fans. And this is actually where...
Like dramatic size.
But it's basically a fan fiction where it's erotica. And it can be...
It's usually gay.
It's usually gay. So it's like Kirk and Spock.
Oh, where it's like between
sex.
Kirk and Spock.
Yeah, yeah. That was...
Bones and Chekhov.
Do you think that's like a proper Patreon level?
Is that something you'd spend money on?
Something I'd spend? I don't know if I'd spend money on.
I mean, we do hetero, too. We do hetero, too.
We'd have to get like some girls to join us so we could get some lady voices. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. Getting women to read...
Erotica, dramatically.
Homosexual erotic fiction. I don't know.
It'd be hetero.
Was that?
Hetero.
No, we could do homo, too.
Yeah.
We have to.
Oh, yeah, I mean, no, we'd have to do some of the Kirk Spock. I mean, you got to do Kirk
you
Spock.
Have
you guys
Kirk
said
Spock.
It was usually gay, so I figured it was homosexual.
It's normally gay. Yeah.
But I think sometimes there's like a girl tossed in.
Yeah, they throw her in just for the hell of it. Anyway.
No, here's the thing. I mean, you could do it, but I don't know if you'd run into any issues with pornography laws. And secondly, people might be pissed off about it. But, hey, it's a free country. You go for it.
Well, we asked for feedback. We never got any feedback.
We just figured the silence meant that nobody wanted it.
Nobody wanted it. But we don't get a lot of direct feedback on anything, so that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, that was my direct feedback on it. I personally think it's a terrible idea. But,
I mean, I offered at one point to run naked through the woods and David would film me.
Yeah.
And that never happened either, so.
Yeah. But I was thinking for the
erotic terrible reading. Idea. Maybe try
thinking of good ideas.
Off something like, you know, I don't know, a piece of memorabilia my guys might have or something like that. Aaron running naked or, you know, Slash Fiction might be something to steer away from.
All right. We'll take that advice to heart.
But you don't, we don't have to take your word for it.
you don't have to take my word for it.
Well, yeah, if you've got ideas for Patreon things, send us an email, setthehawks@yahoo.com. If you want us to read your emails, and if you've got responses to any of the things that we've said or not said tonight, we'll also read those.
Or if you're highly disturbed by some of the things that we've said tonight, please respond.
Yeah, tell us how disturbed you are. We don't mind reading that response.
And we will laugh so hard. We'll laugh at your tears. But hey, we do enjoy everybody tuning in and listening and giving the show your time. We enjoy our audience, everyone's interaction with the Facebook page. We have a Facebook group.
Facebook.com/groups@setthehawks. Join the group if you're not in it. Do it now.
Everyone's been having a lot of fun over there. It's been a nice little community that's been developing. I like it because you know what I like about our group is everyone's a little offbeat. And I enjoy offbeat. I don't enjoy the straight, just narrow, easy, the average white bread.
Common denominator, mainstream.
And so far, We're mostly respective. We haven't had to ban or kick anybody from the group yet. So, I mean, it's been
I think there was
good.
Only one person, and they were talking about sunglass sales or something like that.
But I mean, like, you know, that's like a spammer. That's not even like a legitimate
kick. No, nobody's done anything really ridiculous. So, yeah, I enjoyed that, and I enjoy our group. It's a real grassroots. It seems like we do get the eclectic group, and I'm happy for it.
I think it's probably because of our show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We're the
anybody listens to this show, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. And, or right, and just all the wrong.
I will agree to that.
And
for
I love every one of you. So
we love you
because there's something wrong with me too.
So the Hawks love you long time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper. Thanks, Daddy, for doing a show with me.
No problem, son. Ready for that mustache ride?
Oh, yeah, Daddy, show me that.
Giddy up.
Live long and prosper, one and all.
It's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
We're in such trouble for the show.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes I have to cut out and then like release this. It's like listen at your own risk thing.
I don't know, man.
I just thought it was funny because Andrew was like, are you going to talk about it? And I was like, I wasn't planning on it. But now that you planted the seeds, you gave me a purpose.
I didn't plant any kind of seeds. I was hoping not to avoid it.
You got to understand, like, if you say something to Dave, it will come back. It'll like circle the cul-de-sac and come right back at you.
We were in beard mail for how long? Like you
were we?
No, me and Andrew
to be fair, you're right. I should have known better. I should have known better.
Like you could say something like as soon as you walked in, and I could bring it back by the end of the day.
You're true.
It happened
I'm
more.
I'm not going to argue with that. You're absolutely right. I should have known better.
And welcome to Symphaholics!
What?
I guess I shouldn't say and.
No.
And we're back.
What is that from?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember. Okay, whatever. That Isaacs is quoted saying, looking forward to having fun with them, the fans, being outraged. Did you just fart in the mic?
No.
Is that your dog farting in the mic?
No, it's me moving the arm of the mic microphone going up and down.
It really sounds like you're farting.
You're ripping up new ones.